It's your favorite local magazine come to life on the radio. Area experts giving you tips and tricks on everything you need to know. It's Expert Insights. Now, here's your host, Deb Keating.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Expert Insights Show, where every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., we are interviewing local experts in their field of expertise. I always say I'm super excited for my next expert because I love what I do for a living. But I really, really am excited to talk to our next expert because the topic that we're going to talk about is so valuable to so many people because you really need an expert to be talking about cosmetic surgery. So today we have the expert in that field right here on the South Shore. And we are speaking, therefore, to Dr. Stephen D'Elia, who is here today with us in the studio in Marshfield. Welcome, Dr. D'Elia.
Thank you for having me. Nice to see you.
Absolutely happy to have you here. So tell everybody right off the bat so they know where to find you. What is the name of your, I know you're Dr. Stephen D'Elia, but I know you're in Duxbury. Tell them just a little bit about where you are.
Yeah, well, we're in Duxbury at the Island Creek Park, just at the exit there. And we've been there for quite some time. I've been in practice for 30 years, and I do cosmetic plastic surgery. It's not a big presence on the road, but we're in the complex right before you go down the hill from Duxbury.
On Tremont Street, right?
On Tremont Street, yes. Yeah. And we've been there, I don't know, a number of many years. And prior to that, I've been in another office serving the community, the South Shore community in Stoughton, Mass. So I've been in practice over 30 years doing plastic surgery, serving the South Shore community.
And I always say, you know, it's good to listen to this show. If you live on the South Shore, for that matter, you can live stream it anywhere at 95.9WATD.com. But the reason why we interview local experts is simply because who's in your backyard that you can trust? And when it comes to plastic surgery, that is not something where you just go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I think I'll try this one. And part of that story is your story. And that's why they trust you, because you have the experience. But talk about your inspiration. What inspired you to become a plastic surgeon? What, and how do you stay passionate for that long?
Sure. Well, you know, the first thing is you go through the process, college, medical school, residency training, fellowship training. And so I developed an interest in surgery. I like to use my hands, and I'm artistic. And most plastic surgeons will start out in general surgery or ENT surgery, and probably most commonly general surgery. And so you go through general surgery in prerequisite training and then specialize. Plastic surgery is inventive, it's creative, and you solve problems, and most people get better. And so that's very appealing, and so that's how I developed an interest. It's artistic and a more creative field or a part or specialty of surgery. And so that's how it evolved for me. People should understand anybody can call themselves a cosmetic surgeon. But a plastic surgeon, typically what you should expect, the benchmark would include a board certification in plastic surgery. Now, there is a board, the American Board of Medical Specialties, which recognizes all the different boards in the country for gynecology, surgery, and the surgical specialties. The American Board of Plastic Surgery is the organization which certifies plastic surgeons. So I'm a board certified plastic surgeon from the American Board of Plastic Surgery, and that's really what you should expect. Now, there are, you know, other doctors who do cosmetic surgery, but I do think that to ensure you're getting somebody who's done the appropriate training and has been through the rigorous prerequisite trainings, that's something that you should expect. And that's what I've done. So you'll go through residency training in general surgery, and then specialize in plastic surgery, and then you can even do a fellowship like I did in plastic surgery as well. So after that, and then you can go into practice and serve the community, which is what I've done. And like I said, I've done that for 30 years.
One of the things that I love about what you said is honing in on the fact that it's artistic. When can you actually say, when can a surgeon actually say that what they do is artistic? You know, you have a, a broken bone, they fix it, that's surgery, hopefully you're going to walk like you never had a broken bone. I love the fact that you used artistic because I feel like there are people out there that are not really creating somebody that looks natural. And that is an art. And especially where I come from originally in California, I can look at a lot of people and go, ooh, you had plastic surgery. But I'm sure part of the art is that nobody can say that with your patients. They just look good. They don't know, oh yeah, well, she had something done with her eyes or her lips or a facelift or what have you, right?
That's right. It's not just a procedure. It's not a simple protocol. There's a lot of judgment and artistic endeavor in the procedures that you do. And so our goal is to try to make patients look well-rested, rejuvenated, natural, but not overdone. And so I have a smaller boutique practice where we really individualize our treatments and surgeries to try to give patients that type of service. And it does involve a lot of artistic judgment in the procedure, as opposed to maybe some of the other surgical specialties where removing your appendix or your gallbladder, and it's more straightforward. And there's other difficulties and specialized techniques. But in plastic surgery, it is very artistic to try to make things look as natural as possible and not have a very operated on look or overdone or more theatrical appearance.
Right. And that's why, again, we're here with Dr. Stephen D'Elia, who's a plastic surgeon right here on the South Shore in Duxbury. That's why I think it's really important to have the trust factor for somebody who has done this many, many, many times over and over again.
Yeah.
And then the patient comes in and they want a consult and they're considering plastic surgery, but they don't necessarily know who, what, why, where, when, and how. But you can help them decide. You can help them get educated, on a combination of procedures, right? When they should do it, how they should do it, what combination of procedures should they do? Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, well, I think the first thing is that's a good point. We're trying to educate the patient, and a patient may come in for one procedure, but what they really need is something quite different. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing, is to see what bothers the patient, what the patient's interested in, and then direct them as to what I think would be their best options. And sometimes it's just, it can come full circle, and it's different. But if you have somebody that understands, that's the first thing. You want to educate the patient to make sure they understand what's going on. We want patients who are informed and who have realistic expectations about what we can do. The first thing is I have to see a patient who I think has an issue or a problem that I think I can help. Mm-hmm. And if I think that's the case and I have a procedure that I think I could do for the patient that'll help them, then that's something that we progress. There are plenty of times where we decide or turn the patient down because they may have unrealistic expectations. So I think it's not a cookie cutter type of approach. Every patient is individualized as to what was going to be their best option. You know, these days we have a lot of non-surgical options for a variety of different issues. But then we progress towards surgical options as well. A lot of these patients these days, as you may know, are taking these GLP-1 medications and losing large amounts of weight and are left with all of this extra skin. And
right.
Even the patients who have bariatric surgery, gastric bypass, the same situation. In that case, a lot of the times, even though there are some skin-tightening devices out there that use different energies like radio frequency and so forth, ultrasound energy, when you get to that point, sometimes going right to a surgical procedure, however, is appropriate because that's really what's going to help them.
I didn't even think about that. I'm glad you addressed that because, of course, that's a hot topic right now is weight loss with GLP-1s. And then what? And that's what I like. You know, here we are with you, Dr. Stephen D'Elia of the Stephen D'Elia Plastic Surgery in Duxbury. And I think we're tapping into, it's not only, oh, gee, I want to make my smile look prettier or my eyes look brighter. Sometimes you do work hard to lose weight, whether you're on a GLP-1 or you're doing it with bariatric surgery, like you said. You got to finish the job to make yourself look good, right?
That's right. Many times patients, we have plenty of patients who lose 50 to 100 pounds.
Right.
And they come in with all this redundant skin. And really, the only option is a surgical procedure, a tummy tuck or an arm lift, or a variety of different facelifts because they lose so much volume in the face. You've heard of the Ozempic face. So a lot of times we propose we go right to surgical treatments. And unfortunately, a lot of these things are not covered by insurance, but you have to finish the job, so to speak, as you said. And I think a lot of these patients are just so happy after you've done these type of procedures because this is a culmination of all the transformation of weight loss and in addition to being healthier, losing all of the medical problems like diabetes and
right.
hypertension. They feel better about themselves. And that's where we come in. And it's really very gratifying.
I bet to be able to say, wow, I helped them feel good about themselves in their own skin, in this case, literally. So we're going to hop over to a break in a minute. But before we do that, can you list off the most common types of procedures that you do?
Sure. We do a lot of facial rejuvenation procedures. And so I end up doing a lot of facelifts, upper and lower blepharoplasties or eye lifts, neck lifts, things like that. And, you know, you may say to yourself, oh, that's frivolous, but it's not. If you're one of these patients who just has developed this big turkey gobbler neck and you don't like it and you have all these bands, doing a neck lift will just transform and set you back, 10 to 15 years. So we do a lot of that type of work. We combine that sometimes with facial fat grafting to provide more volume. The upper and lower eyelids are just tremendous in helping patients open up and have them look more well-rested and rejuvenated.
I need that, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great procedure. The other thing we do a lot of is body contouring surgery, and that goes hand-in-hand with the GLP-1s as well. Sometimes patients come in and they sort of jumpstart things. We do a lot of liposuction, tummy tucks. I think I've done over 3,500 of these type of cases, which is probably maybe one of the biggest experiences in the state or certainly the South Shore. So as you said before, you know, having this large experience doing so many of these procedures is really what you want to see, not somebody who's taken a weekend course and who just jumps on the bandwagon.
Right. And there are sadly plenty of those, even with Botox and things like that. You know, every other storefront now is that. And, you know, I think it's so important to be with a trusted source like Dr. Stephen D'Elia. Before we head over to the break, Doctor, share with the audience where they can learn more about you, your website, wherever you want them to contact you.
Sure. You know, we have a website, stephendelia.com, basically my name, S-T-E-P-H-E-N. And you could see before and after photos there. We try to do that with be somewhat tasteful and not too graphic, but you could go there and you can get some information. And, you know, we don't do a lot of print advertising, but a lot of our patients are word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the best patients, and the happy patients will send other patients.
Right. That's what it's all about. And so on and so on and so on, like the VO5 commercial, right? And back in the day. Well, Doctor, thank you for being with us. And we're going to hop on over to a break with more information about plastic surgery and what you need to know if you're thinking about it.
Stay tuned for more expert insights on WATD.
Cybersecurity isn't just an IT problem anymore. It's a small business problem, it's a family problem, and it's a community problem. Hi, I'm Allison A.J. Cutts, founder of Cybersecurity Chic. I believe safer digital communities start with something I call the human firewall. What does that mean? It means giving people the knowledge and confidence to recognize cyber threats before they become a cyber victim. Whether you're running a small business, supporting a community, helping a family member, or simply trying to protect yourself online, small cybersecurity habits can make a big difference. At Cybersecurity Chic, we make cybersecurity practical, approachable, and relevant to everyday life. Because when people know what to look for, they can make smarter decisions before they click. Want to learn more about becoming a human firewall? Visit cybersecuritychic.com. Cybersecurity Chic, building stronger human firewalls, one person and one community at a time.
Back to Expert Insights and your host, Deb Keating.
Welcome back to the Expert Insights Show, where today we are here with our special guest, Dr. Stephen D'Elia. He is a plastic surgeon in Duxbury, and we decided we're going to call it the best kept secret because it is truly a boutique office, and it's a great secret to share as we're doing on the air here now, because I think it's so important when you're thinking about any kind of surgery, but particularly surgery that involves your face or any kind of cosmetic procedure, if you're doing this voluntarily, you better make sure that you're getting the best guy. And doctor, truly as a compliment to you, you are the expert. And I want to say in particular, facial rejuvenation, right?
Yeah, well, we do a lot of facial rejuvenation procedures, and I've been doing this for quite some time. We talked about the fact that it does take a lot of artistic vision to really make these procedures look natural, and patients appreciate that. You don't want somebody to know exactly what you had
done.
Yeah,
you had an eye lift, or, you know, you're
exactly.
Not supposed to know.
And, you know, patients come in, and they're so happy that, oh, such and such said, you know, you look great. What did you do? You know, and mm-hmm. Some people are proud to say what they've done. Some value their privacy still, and that's
right.
Okay. And we don't want, you know, the New England aesthetic is more conservative than maybe what goes on in the Sun Belt states, California,
yes.
Arizona, and so forth. But still, even there, I think the goal is to make an effort to have patients have a natural look. You know, you'll see on social media all over the place patients now actually inquiring about the specific techniques and the deep plane facelift, the SMAS facelift. Well, that's all fine, but they should understand that these procedures, some of them, the deep plane facelift has been around for many years, since the 90s. I participated in a study and wrote a paper, I think it was back in the mid-90s, on the multi-plane facelift, which is a variation of the deep plane facelift. So we've been in this a long time. These are good procedures, but I think every patient has to be individualized. And so the important thing is to go to a plastic surgeon, have a consult. You may or may not like the doctor, or if you do and you get along and they have good photographs of before and afters, I think that's what you should really put a lot of stock in, not the actual procedure, because right now, for example, the deep plane facelift is really talked about excessively in social media. We do the deep plane facelift and the SMAS facelift and the deep plane neck lift, which really has a lot of benefits. And these are really the more modern techniques in facelifting surgery that really will provide a very nice result. But I do think that first evaluate the surgeon that you're going to. The other thing that's important is where do you do these surgeries? Well, I'm on staff at the local hospitals, BID Plymouth and others, but we don't really go there much these days. We have a certified office-based surgery center, and it's certified by what we call Quad A, which is the organization that most plastic surgeons will use, and it's quite rigorous to get that certification to make sure you have a safe and effective facility. So we do procedures in the office, We have a great anesthesia group that comes in, and they provide, for a lot of these procedures, what we call total intravenous anesthesia, similar to like when you have a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. And that's great because these medications, will you can put a breathing tube in. You're still breathing on your own, but it just provides an airway. And you wake up. The recovery is very smooth without a lot of after effects. And the recovery might be 20 minutes or half an hour or less. And patients are then, they leave out the back into their car with their significant other, and they're on their way. Doing this in a hospital, doing cosmetic surgical procedures in the hospital is more cumbersome. And it uses the resources of the hospital. You're next to patients who might be quite ill. And frankly, you might have help that's not quite as expert. There's a lot of traveling nurses these right. days, visiting nurses, and they may not be the best help. In our office, we pick everybody from the anesthesia group to the circulating RN to the surgical techs, and it just couldn't work any smoother. And yet we also have all of the emergency equipment and procedures and protocols in case there's a problem.
I like to hear that too on both fronts. First of all, most people probably have some kind of anxiety over even just parking in the hospital, never mind actually going through those doors that open up. Half the time you have to go to the emergency room to get to the
exactly
destination.
Right.
To be able to walk into your office smooth, calm, and knowing that you're going to walk out and feel great is so much less intimidating. But also, I like the fact, because I was going to ask you about that, that you still have all the players and pieces in place. God forbid, if there's anything, it's not like, oh, rats, I wish I went to the hospital. It's all right there.
Yeah, it's all, like I said, we have procedures and protocols in place and emergency equipment. And once you're in the operating room, it functions like a regular operating room mm-hmm. in the hospital. But better. It's we're only doing these procedures. The anesthesia group, all they do is plastic surgery. So they're just in tune to this, and they use techniques that, frankly, you wouldn't get in the hospital. For example, they would just put a breathing tube in, and the patient would be under general anesthesia with inhalational anesthesia gases, and then recover in the recovery room for several hours
right.
next to a patient had a big operation. So it's not the most pleasant and efficient way to do cosmetic plastic surgery. It works best this way, and I've done it always. So I enjoy doing this in our facility. Even though it's a small office, it's a certified facility with all the appropriate equipment and safety standards to do this.
No, I think that's super important to share with the audience. And again, we are here with Dr. Stephen D'Elia, located right on Tremont Street in Duxbury. Dr. D'Elia, I want to talk about what patients often misunderstand. What do they misunderstand about cosmetic surgery? And what do you wish that more people knew before they chose to have a procedure?
Well, one big thing I try to get across to people is, you know, this is all over social media, and that's fine, but you have to be careful. There are, first of all, this surgery, and there are some risks associated with surgery. You have to be aware of that. There's some recovery, there's some scars and so forth, and sometimes that's what you have to accept if you want the outcome that you desire. For example, there are a variety of devices out there, skin tightening devices that use radio frequency or ultrasound energy or laser energy, and they're great devices, but they can only go so far. Mm-hmm. And some of the other non-surgical products, like the fillers and the neuromodulators, will also give you some benefit, but can only go so far.
Right.
And so that's where surgery comes in. It's entirely appropriate, but I think patients have to have realistic expectations and then understand that there is going to be a little recovery and, you know, scars, and what are the risks of this. They have to understand that first.
Of course.
We see patients in preoperative consultation once, and a lot of times I'll see them again to make sure we're on the same page. We don't want patients to have a misunderstanding or unhappy patients afterwards because they didn't realize what they were getting into.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, I don't want to say irreversible, but once you make your decision, you better know what decision you're making, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? Hopefully
yeah.
not ugly. Hopefully it's all pretty.
I mean, sometimes we turn patients down if we yeah. don't feel that it's a good option for them or if it's unrealistic. So it's something that we do, and not solely for profit or for monetary reasons. It's a wonderful specialty. We see patients who are just so happy afterwards, and it's very gratifying to see the improvement in life in just basic activities of daily living. And a lot of these patients who lost all this weight and are unhappy because they have such skin redundancy issues, right, and things like that.
Well, and I think, again, tapping back into the trust factor, people can trust you because of what you just said. You just said, hey, sometimes I turn people away. People who are not trustworthy wouldn't do that. So I love that you said that. And then you also said something about social media, and I want you to share with the audience because you do have an Instagram page.
Sure. Yeah, we do have an Instagram page, and we don't post every day, but we do have a lot of very nice before and after photos, and patients sometimes don't mind posting those. So we will do that and give little informational tips on social media and Instagram and Facebook and so forth. So that's a nice format for people to see what goes on. I do think sometimes it could be taken out of context and be overdone. So just be careful, I think, about some of the things you see out there. There are some social media sites where, for example, I've seen facelift before and afters that are just totally unrealistic. Yeah. And it's this is global. And you'll see, I've seen these surgeons from other countries, and it's just, I think, AI generated. So be careful.
I think that's also really valuable advice because, again, especially living here in New England, we're a little bit more conservative. You know, I love to tell my California family and friends, hey, we walk around in Uggs, and jeans, and we're not walking around in hoity-toity Beverly Hills outfits. And I think any kind of cosmetic surgery that you do here needs to have that flavor. So we only have 2 minutes left. I want to take a look ahead. Where do you see, in just 2 quick minutes, the biggest changes and innovations in plastic surgery, and how do they affect the way patients are treated?
Well, there's a lot of newer devices that will give you some benefit that are tissue tightening that can only go so far. Plastic surgery will always be around because you get to a point where the fillers and the neuromodulators will just not be helpful. And so I think there's a lot of newer innovative techniques, for example, for facial rejuvenation surgery, the deep neck lift, the deep plane facelift, the SMAS facelift, that'll give you very nice results that you really were not seeing even several short years ago. The whole field of fat grafting is evolving to help, and we do this a lot in our facial rejuvenation surgeries to provide more volume, especially in all these patients are losing large volumes of weight and the Ozempic face. And so fat grafting is a very new part of plastic surgery, still evolving, but is already showing significant benefit in addition to tightening and lifting and pulling. So a combination of these procedures, smaller incisions, endoscopic work, all of these things, particularly in facial rejuvenation surgery, really are providing very nice results that previously you probably would not have seen even several years ago.
So, Dr. D'Elia, I want to first congratulate you on being Best of the South Shore for 3 years in a row. All of these people who want to contact you, just quickly tell them how they can do that.
Well, they can find us on social media. It's Stephen D'Elia, MD, on Facebook and Instagram. And my website is stephendelia.com, very simple. We're at Tremont, 20 Tremont Street in Duxbury, Mass.
And Stephen is S-T-E-P-H-E-N.
That's right.
Thank
I'm in
you
the
again.
PH Club.
Love it. You know, I just want to say thank you for being here and sharing your story with us today. Dr. Stephen D'Elia, plastic surgeon in Duxbury, thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Deborah. Nice to be here.